Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Come on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast, of course, our YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there on a Tuesday with the Eagles at 1-0 and the Phillies marching along to winning the National League. He's a walk-off last night after almost blowing it. Offense mostly non-existent, but they get the victory, and the Phillies continue to chop off numbers and that magic number for both the division and obviously a playoff spot will be clinched first. All right, so I want to get to my weekly NFC power ranks. I'm going to try to do this on a weekly basis. Power ranking the NFC, did it before the season, and kind of updated throughout the year because I think the NFC is really interesting this year in terms of the playoffs and in terms of how many teams have a real chance. The way I view it, and this may change as the weeks go on. I only have two teams in the NFC that I think are completely bad. Bad football teams that are dead on arrival to start the season. And that would be, well, we'll get to it in my power rankings. You can probably guess, though. Two teams dead on arrival. That's it. That leaves the rest of the NFC. That leaves 14 teams jockeying for seven spots throughout the year. We could probably guess the top three or four and kind of put them in a separate category. And then everybody else is going to be moved around here based on, you know, where they're at and based on injuries, based on the situation these teams are in. So I think it's going to be a fluid situation. I'm going to be doing this on a weekly basis. And I think it's the kind of year where you could have some wacky things happen. You really can. You could. I mean, you could have a team that we don't even think is really that good right now, but they find their way into the mix because of an injury or maybe they're just better than we think they are. I mean, that is certainly possible this season in the NFC. And I think there's a lot of teams like that. And it wouldn't surprise me if we get to January and it's like, man, I did not see these three or four teams coming and making the playoffs along with the top two or three that we expect to be there. Let's get to it. NFC power rankings after week number one. Number one, and it's going to take a lot to knock them off this perch for me because I believe they are the best team in the NFC. That is the Detroit Lions. I thought that was an impressive week one victory over a game Rams team. Look, the Lions defense was a problem for them last year. Their secondary was a problem. It's why they lost that NFC Championship game to San Francisco. Well, they've addressed that. I thought they got a lot of rush against a banged-up offensive line. They did it without DJ Reader. Hutchinson looked like a star and even missed the sack he should have had on Sunday night. Their secondary was much improved. Cooper Kupp gave a lot of credit to Terrion Arnold, their first-round pick after the game. So we know their defense is likely to be better this season. Then we go to the offense. They've got all the ingredients to be a dominant, dominant offense. The line is the best in the NFL. Two great backs, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Laporta were kind of quiet in retrospect on Sunday, but the emergence of Jameson Williams gives them an element they didn't have last year. They could run it down your throat. They could throw it over your head. They could throw it over the middle. They could be efficient. They've got everything. The Lions are the best team in the NFC entering the season. They're 1-0. They're number one. Number two, the San Francisco 49ers. It's a character win last night. Character win. After a lot of noise this offseason, they went out and beat a team that's getting hyped and steamed. The people are betting on the Jets, and they beat the brakes off them last night. They made Aaron Rodgers look like he was 40. Their defense played a good game. Their offense, even though they really haven't played and practiced much together this offseason because Trent Williams holding out and Brandon Ayuk holding out, all that kind of stuff, they still put up 32 points. And they did it without Christian McCaffrey. I mean, that really hits you. If they could do that without Christian McCaffrey, it's about the coach. The coach is the star of the program in San Francisco, along with a lot of excellent players and a quarterback that I actually think just continues to be underrated. I have a pretty stark line of demarcation, 1 and 2, and then everybody else in the NFC. Number one, Lions. Number two, 49ers. Number three is the Dallas Cowboys. That was an impressive showing. I know Deshaun Watson is fully cooked at this point, but I thought the Cowboys showed out on Sunday. Another team where I think we sometimes, because we're kind of bored, the headlines are there, and we're looking for something in July and August without any real preseason, anything to kind of glean onto and give us something to think about. We just kind of recycle the same things and the storylines, and they get in our heads. I think we did this with the Cowboys. We did it with the Niners. We assume noise or holdouts means the player is not going to be as good or not going to play. Well, most of the time, these things end up with the player playing. CeeDee Lamb was on the field for the Cowboys Sunday. Dak Prescott's on the field Sunday for the Cowboys as the better quarterback on the field. And their defense, which did lose Dan Quinn, imports Mike Zimmer, who's a pretty excellent defensive mind. Parsons and Lawrence are game wreckers. They'll get healthier on defense as the year goes on. Dallas is still a good football team. I mean, they are with a lot of outstanding players. Their depth is shaky, and we'll see how they hold up over the course of the season. But today, they're the third best team in the NFC. Number four, that's why I have the Philadelphia Eagles after their win on Friday night. A lot of good. I mean, there were a lot of good things on Friday, from Zach Bond to Saquon Barkley to Mekhi Becton. That line looks like it's going to be quite good for the Eagles again on the offensive side, even though there are some big changes with Jason Kelce gone. Jalen Carter, I thought, played well. They have a real player in Quinyon Mitchell at the quarter position now. But there are some concerns. Jalen Hurts continues to turn the football over. They have some holes in the secondary. And that would be their slot corner right now, because Avante Maddox is not a good player right now. We'll see how quickly they could get him off the field. They also have a potential issue at safety. I thought Chauncey Gardner-Johnson does not play well at all on Friday night. I didn't like what I saw. So there's a lot of things to be really positive about with the Eagles, and that was a character win over the Packers. They also could have easily given up 40, 7.1 yards per play allowed, explosive plays, bailed out by the Packers at times. So that's why they're not higher. They're at four right now for me. But look, here's a good thing. Saquon, AJ, Devontae, and this line, this should be a high-octane offense all year. They should put up points all season long. Eagles at four. In the NFC. Number five, a team that I continue to have down in power rankings, and they continue to prove me wrong like every year, and that is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Do I think they're going to be this good when January arrives? No, but I've been down the Buccaneers for years. I mean, really, other than the Brady Super Bowl year when they won it, I haven't liked the Bucs for years. The next year I was down in the Bucs. They lost eventually to the Rams in the divisional round. Post-Brady, they went for the fall. And they just keep winning football games. And I thought, we put up the picks podcast on Saturday. I went 3-2 this week. But one of my picks that was wrong was and it was the one that was probably lined the worst. Like, I just was totally off on the game, was the Commanders catching the 3.5 in Tampa. I thought the game would be close, and it wasn't. Now, some of that was Commanders, fault. But some of it was the Bucs just, they saw blood in the water, and they attacked. And Baker Mayfield was excellent, on point. Accurate, good decision making. It was all there for Baker Mayfield on Sunday. The Bucs have a lot of good football players, and they have a seasoned coach, and they're not just going to go away. I don't think they're going to fall to be a 6-win team. So we got to get used to the Bucs, probably in the mix in the NFC. They're number five for me. Number six, the Los Angeles Rams fought valiantly. The issues for them right now are the injuries are piling up, and I'm actually concerned about them this week falling 0-2 when they go to Arizona. They're without Puka Nacua. They're without several starters on the offensive line. They're not the team they need to be right now. And their defense is really young in a lot of spots. And with Matthew Stafford, for as good as he is, he's getting beat up. I don't know how long he's going to last behind this offensive line. Of all the teams in my rankings, the Rams are the one I'm the most worried about right now, because they could tumble here pretty fast. And it's not because they don't have the bones of a good team. It's because they're banged up. No Puka Nacua. And we'll see if Stafford could keep getting through these games and get back up and playing the next week. But, once they got to overtime, that was a tough spot. Now they have to go on the road again after an overtime game and play the Arizona Cardinals, who are coming home probably chomping at the bit to get a victory after coming so close in Buffalo last week. That is a challenging game, probably one you'll hear about from me Saturday, NFL picks coming up this week. The Rams at number six in the NFC. Number seven, I'm going to go with the Minnesota Vikings. Well-coached football team. Kevin O'Connell is a good offensive mind. He really is. He got a lot out of Kirk Cousins. He got a lot out of the Vikes a couple years ago, winning 13 games. He got a lot last year out of journeyman quarterbacks and kept themselves afloat in the race until they just couldn't anymore and they took on too much water. And now he got Sam Darnold to play one of the best games of his career. I said before the season, the NFC North will be the best division in football, and I truly believe that. Because you have the Lions, you have the Packers, who we'll get to here in a second, and then you have the Bears, who got a win under their belt without their young quarterback doing a thing to help them, and you have the Vikings. This is a division where I think all four teams will be at bare minimum 7 wins. I could see all four at bare minimum 8. It could be from 8 to 13 in terms of the win the wins in this division. I could see Lions at 12 or 13. I could see the Packers at now, let's say, 9 after the injury to Jordan Love, 8 or 9. And then you're going to have the Vikings and the Bears in that same range, all fighting for a playoff spot there at the end of the season. Impressive showing in week one, both on offense and defense. It's a buttoned-up team. It's a smart front office. You know, if McCarthy was there and he was the one playing on Sunday and he put up those numbers, we would say this is the surprise team in the NFL. But it's Darnold, so it'll take a while for it to hit for people if they keep playing good football. Vikings at number 7. Number 8 in the NFC, and this is strictly because of the injury to Jordan Love, that's the Packers. You know, the Packers were sloppy on Friday. They had drops. They had an interception. They let the Eagles run all over them. They had issues on Friday night. They were bad in the red zone. Yet, you know, I bet they look at the tape this week and say, if we just make this play and that play, we have 40-plus on the board in our first game in Brazil. So there's a lot to like about the Packers, and they'll be dangerous come January, assuming they get in, that they don't fall apart here without Love the next, I don't know how many weeks. You know, it's kind of been a weird, weirdly reported injury where some people are saying, you know, maybe on the shorter end, some people are saying it could go up to 6 weeks. 6 weeks will put their playoff lives in jeopardy, because I don't believe in Malik Willis and Sean Clifford as backup quarterbacks, even though LaFleur is a good, you know, offensive mind. Weird in-game coach. I don't love him in-game coach. I didn't like him since the title game he lost to Bruce Arians of the Bucks. But as a designer and an offensive mind, he's good. He'll do his best with these guys. It's a matter of how long they could survive. This week, they're home dogs to the Colts. They're at number 8 for me in the NFC, probably trending down here as the weeks go on. Number 9, the New Orleans Saints. I got to give them credit. I had them towards the bottom of the NFC last week. They still may end up there, but that was a professional win. They took apart a terrible football team led by a terrible quarterback. Derek Carr is not good, but he's also not terrible. Their roster is probably closer to league average, 23rd best roster in the NFL, 21st best roster, than it is 32, and they get themselves off on a good foot. Now they have a test this week. They have to go to Dallas. If their offense, with Clint Kubiak now calling the plays, shows out against Dallas, only allowed 17 last week to the Browns in Cleveland, I will consider reconsidering the Saints. They're at number 9 for me right now. Number 10, the Arizona Cardinals. I liked what I saw. I really did. They had a lead in Buffalo. They were playing well. They're going to be a problem. Their defense has a chance to make a big leap this year to respectable status. And their offense is coming back here. They can run the football with James Conner. I think they have a few backs that can run the football. And they've got weapons now. Dortch and Wilson, if you have Marvin Harrison in fantasy, you're probably like, oh. No, I actually, if you're, I would look at it as more of a positive. That because if they have other guys that could play, which it looks like they do with Dortch and Wilson and McBride, it's going to open it up for Marvin Harrison and let him get his feet well comfortable. They don't have to force the ball to him 15 times a game. It will come together. I do like them this week at home against the Rams. I think the Cardinals are building something. That was just a tough spot. First game of the season on the road, across the country, in Buffalo, against Josh Allen. That's a tough spot to close. They're not ready to close. The Cardinals, when I was watching the game Sunday, I thought to myself, they're the Lions of 2 years ago. They're the 2022 Lions. And if you remember correctly, the Lions lost week one, 2022, to the Eagles in Detroit. And it was a shootout kind of game. Eagles closed it at the end. I think the number was 4 and or 4.5. And the Eagles, I think the Lions covered the game. And by the end of the year, the Eagles were the best team in the NFC by far. We'll see how good the Bills are. But the Bills are a pretty good football team. And the Lions got to 9-8 and jump-started the story into 2023 when they got to the title game and they really became, you know, an excellent football team. The Cardinals feel like that to me. They're building something. I don't know when all the wins are going to come, but I do think they're an over team this year. I think they'll get to 8 or 9 wins. I picked them to make the playoffs. Maybe it's not good enough like it was for the Lions a couple years ago. They missed on a tiebreaker, whatever. They're on their way. And you see the bones of it starting week to week. Number 10 for me in the NFC, the Cardinals. Number 11, the Chicago Bears. Look, a win is why you feel good if you're in Chicago this morning, and the defense and the opportunistic thing there. The reason you're concerned is it feels like the same thing but different than a year ago, in that the defense is good. They can make some plays on special teams, carry the day. They, you know, could find a way to beat a bad quarterback like Will Levis and what's going on in Tennessee. But the offense is too shoddy, and the quarterback's too inaccurate. Now, this one's got promise and upside. This is not a fourth-year quarterback, you know, who is never going to figure it out likely like Justin Fields was there. This is a rookie quarterback on his rookie deal with a higher upside. So the future's still very bright for the Bears. But for this year, I'm not sure how good Caleb Williams is. I mean, he threw the ball a million times on Sunday for less than 100 yards. He took a lot of sacks, ran around, tried to get away from defenders. You can't do that in the NFL. I'm not sure how great or good Caleb Williams is today. Do I think he'll get to that level eventually? Probably. You know, I think you see the root of it there. But I'm not sure how good he is today. The Bears could be a 7-10, 8-9 team because they have choppy up and down quarterback play. Number 12 in the NFC, the Seattle Seahawks. Yes, it's off a win, but I was unimpressed with the offense. I thought that was all set up for the Seahawks to win that football game. All set up when you think about it, because they're at home. They get a rookie quarterback on the road in their building. A lot of noise. I like the Broncos to cover the number at 6.5, and we got that one. Got that in the picks on this past weekend because I don't trust Seattle's offense. I think their defense could be good and opportunistic, and Mike McDonald's obviously very good at what he does. But their offensive line's a mess. They had a couple safeties they took. I don't trust Geno. I don't love them this week traveling across the country for an early game in New England. That feels like a rock fight, and they're given 3.5 on the road. I was impressed with their defense, but I'm going to – going to take a deep breath that it was a rookie quarterback in their building. We'll see how good they are this week and moving forward. They're 12 from the NFC. Offensive line's a mess. Number 13, the Atlanta Falcons. This is a team that will rise. They're here now. I expect it to be much higher in my power rankings as time goes on. The beginning of the season is the time to get the Falcons before Kirk Cousins, or if Michael Penix takes over, I guess Michael Penix, but before Kirk Cousins finds himself. They had a lot of tells on offense on Sunday. Kirk couldn't move. It was an uninspiring attack and a team that's just not ready now. By January, they might be a much better football team. Right now, it's blah. There's a reason they're a big underdog to the Eagles in Philadelphia Monday night. This is the time to get them. We'll see how quickly Kirk gets back to the level we're accustomed to. I did like the usage for Bijan Robinson. It seems like he's going to be their guy this year. And their defense played pretty well. But the bottom line is the Falcons looked not very good. And they let T.J. Watt wrecked the game on them. They're 13 for me in the NFC. 14, the Commanders. You know I like this football team. I actually thought Jaden Daniels showed out very well. Very well. Now, they may be more talent efficient than I gave credit for, but I'm going to give them another week before I write them off. They're home against the Giants this week. You haven't heard about yet in these power rankings. You will. They're slight favorites. I believe they're going to win that football game. Daniels was the most impressive rookie quarterback. He just was. He was efficient. He ran the football at an electric level. He does fall down odd. He kind of rolls over because he can't slide. So he's taking big hits, but he scored 2 touchdowns. I thought if not for a missed deep shot to Terry McLaurin early in that game, if he hits it, we're talking about an all-time debut. I mean, seriously, they may still lose. But we're talking about a debut that had, 270 passing yards, 75% completion, and, almost 100 yards rushing and 3 or 4 total touchdowns. It would have been an electric debut. He was this close to it. I see some good things here with Jaden Daniels. Reminds me of a young Lamar Jackson, the way he moves and the way he could just pick up a first down whenever he wants. I think he's going to be a significant problem in the NFC this year, and I think they're going to get better and better as they go. That, in retrospect, that's on me, taking them week one. Gets a veteran, seasoned team in their building. That was a bet I shouldn't have made. Live and learn. And, of course, now they try to rebound at home against the Giants. Number 15, the Giants. It's a mess. That is a organization in the wilderness. Dable's going to get fired. Shane's going to get fired. Mara is going to just be in tears watching Saquon here all year. It's a bad football team. They're a bad. They have a poor line. They have a poor quarterback. They are going to eke out 5 or 6 wins, but it's going to be really ugly. That's a bad, bad football team that needs to reset everything as time goes on. And it should be 2 easy wins for the Philadelphia Eagles this year. Number 16, dead last. Yes, there's a team in the NFC worse than the New York Giants, and that is the Carolina Panthers. My goodness gracious. Nobody likes the Saints this year. The Saints are not considered a good football team. And the Panthers were non-competitive against Derek Carr and Bryce Young and the New Orleans Saints. I mean, that is as bad of a first game as you're ever going to see from a team that was supposed to be improved. Not just supposed to be decent, supposed to be markedly improved with their offensive line and what they brought in. And what you watched on TV, If you watch that game, if you paid for NFL Sunday Ticket to watch the Panthers, you need your money back. And I did do something like that. I had the game on, but that's a bad football team. It's one that I think as time goes on, people are going to realize just how far away they are from winning, and it's going to shock people. It will shock people how far they are away from winning. That's how bad the Saints are. We're talking about all-time bust category for Bryce Young. The defense can't stop anybody. Whew! They're going to be wins and wins and wins for teams that get to face them this year. All right, so one quick last rundown of the power rankings for week number two in the NFL. I got the Lions at 1 in the NFC, the 49ers at 2, Cowboys at 3, Eagles at 4, Bucks 5, Rams 6, Vikings 7, Packers 8, Saints 9, Cardinals 10, Bears 11, Seahawks 12, Falcons 13, the Commanders 14, the Giants 15, and coming in dead last, the Carolina Panthers. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Thanks so much for listening to WIP Daily.